And together. Amen. So kids can, I guess you can. You weren't going to, but Sister Melinda made it possible. So y'all go right ahead. And Upper Room Youth and all your home folks, thank you for being here. Sister Hart, we're so glad to see you. And Sister Tippy, I'm glad you're here. Good to see you. God bless you. Amen. Sister Elsa Morris, we're glad to see you again tonight. We're so glad you're home. Amen. Praise God. Sister Nix, God bless you. Glad you're here. And we're so happy to have Sister Dickerson back. We really missed her being here. Amen. Anytime you miss, understand that you're missed. Because we like everybody being here. Amen. Well, we're going to go tonight to the 23rd Psalm. Anybody ever heard of the 23rd Psalm? Amen. The Shepherd Psalm, the Beloved Psalm. It's one of the greatest psalms in the Bible. There was a great orator one time, and he was at a little banquet, and somebody just impromptu said, "Sir, would you please quote something?" My, he could quote. He stood up and he quoted the 23rd Psalm, and it was awesome. People applauded. And then a little humble preacher got up and he began to quote the 23rd Psalm. And when he got through, nobody was applauding. People were just kind of wiping their eyes, shaking their heads and felt humbled. And somebody said, "Well, the difference is the orator knows the 23rd Psalm, but the preacher knows the shepherd."
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I'd rather know the shepherd. That's what really matters. We got to know the shepherd tonight. Amen. I'm going to entitle this lesson tonight just these two words: the greatest.
The greatest.
The greatest. Amen. And you probably know this psalm. I'm going to have you stand while I read it. We're just going to dissect it. So if you'll just be seated. Psalm 23 starts out with the greatest person. The Lord. you can't get any greater than that, Brother Neil. That's the greatest person. The Lord. Amen. And notice this. When you see in the Old Testament the words Lord spelled like this with all capital letters, uppercase letters, that means it's the name Jehovah. When it has a capital L and then the other three letters are the smaller lowercase letters, that tells you that it's Adonai. But what we have here is the name that the Lord gave to Moses, and he gave it to Abraham, and he called himself Jehovah. The word Jehovah means self-existent. Now, you and I are not self-existent tonight. You couldn't even breathe unless God gives you breath. And when he decides your heart's going to stop, it's going to stop. It has a certain number of beats that he put in it, and when that's all done, it'll all be over. Amen. And so sometimes I've heard people say, "Well, I'm a self-made man." I doubt it. Amen. You didn't make yourself. Amen. God made us. He is our shepherd, and we're the sheep of his pasture. And he has made us and not we ourselves. So he's the self-existent one. That means that nobody made him. He doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need anything to exist. He exists in and of himself. And before there was anything else, he was. And he's the creator of all that does exist now. He is simply the self-existent God. Amen. And so he is, without a doubt, he is the greatest person. Amen. And then the beauty of it is, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Hallelujah. He chose me. I didn't choose him, but he chose me. And he said, I want you to be one of mine. And I'm so glad he did that. I've heard people say, well, I'll come to God when I get ready. My question to you is, how are you going to find him? Huh? How are you going to find God if he doesn't want to be found by you? He's omnipresent, but you won't know it. You'll not know where he is unless he reveals himself to you. Unless he calls you to himself. So we need to be sensitive to come to God when he calls. Who wouldn't want to be, say, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. We need one of those, they have those t-shirts, you know, that they point. I'm with so-and-so. We need one that points up. I'm with him. Amen. I wouldn't want to make that a prideful thing, but it's a good thing to know that I'm with the Lord and the Lord's with me. Because he is absolutely, beyond the doubt, the greatest person. The Lord is the greatest person. And then he gave us the greatest promise. And the little sheep, because the Lord is a shepherd, he said, I shall not want. Not me. Amen. Somebody else may be in want, but I'm not going to be in want. God and only the Lord completely satisfies us. Amen. The Bible says that we are complete in him. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. Until you find the Lord, there is something missing in your life. But when you find him, you're complete. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Now I know sometimes we get to looking around at the world and think, I need this and I need that, and then we get this and we get that and we're still not satisfied. But if we can just go back to the altar and just, as the old timer said, pray through, then you feel complete. Ha! Huh. And you walk away saying, you know what? I thought I needed all this, and all I needed was just to pray through. Now everything's right. Amen. I have the Lord. The Lord has me. We've made things right, and now I'm complete. I really don't need anything. When you're getting a case of the gimmies, you know what the gimmies are? Give me this, give me that. When you start getting the gimmies, you just need to find yourself a place and just have a prayer meeting. All right, self, enough of this. I've been through this before. I've played this game before, and I'm not playing it again. When I get disgruntled and I'm not satisfied, all I really need is more of the Lord. Amen. There was an elder preacher that took a young evangelist out to his garage, and it was full of stuff. It was all there. There was the golf clubs, and there was the boat, and there was all the toys. And he said, you see all this stuff, son? He said, yes, sir. He said, this is nice. He said, you know, he said, I bought all this stuff. But he said, what I was really looking for was just more of the Lord. Amen. I got all this stuff, but what I was really looking for was just more of the Lord. And the good thing is you can have more of him. What was it the scripture said? Jesus said, or the scripture said that godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. That's as good as it gets. When you're right and you're godly and you're right with God and you're content, that's as good as life's going to get right there. Amen. I know people that have a lot of stuff and all they want's more. My brother told me one time, he said, you know how much more money I want? I said, how much? He said, just a little bit more. And that applies to every human being. You could talk to Mr. Bill Gates today. How much you want, Bill? I just need just a little bit more. Amen. You know, if I could just have this much, I could make it. Well, you get that, and you know what you want? Just a little bit more. Because if I had a little bit more, I could do this. And if I had a little bit more, I could do that. And it just goes on and it goes on and it goes on. But when we understand that we have this great promise, he said, I shall not want. He's going to see to it that everything that I need is taken care of. Now, God will not necessarily make you wealthy as far as our measurements of wealth and acquirements, but God will provide the things that will give you contentment. And when you're content, that's a great wealth. Amen. I have met one person in my whole life. One person. I believe the man was sincere. He's an elder man. And I heard him make the statement. I've never heard anybody else say this. He said, you know what? He said, I never did want a whole bunch of money. I thought, what a great statement. I've never heard a human being say that. And he was a very content man. He's just happy. He just looked happy. Don't take much to make some people happy. I had a unique experience one time. And I was in Sam's Club there in Midland. And one of those old West Texas farmers, ranchers came in there. And he just looking around. And he had this really pleased look on his face in the bathroom now. He looks around and he said, my. He said, this has got everything a man would want. I thought, you know, there's a fella that he's got his priorities right. He can appreciate things. And he was pretty content. I thought, there's a guy that knows how to appreciate life right there. And now about every time I walk in a public bathroom, I think of that man. I think, well, he's got everything a man would want. Even the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Greatest promise. And then, verse 2, he has the greatest provision. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, when I read that word, he maketh me, that doesn't mean he knocks your feet out from under you. He doesn't make you or force you. But he makes the place so inviting that you just want to lay down and stay a while. You ever get into a place and it's just so comfortable and so nice and so peaceful and so good, you think, my, I'd just like to stay here for a while. And that's how God makes you stay. You ever get in a church service and get to worshiping and you just don't really want to go? Yeah. Amen. You've been in services like that. And of course, you've been in some you can't wait to get out of, I know. But a lot of times you just come in and you're just enjoying the presence of God. Amen. And you just don't want to go. It's just because you're in a place of green pastures. Amen. And your soul is being fed and you are being enriched and you are being blessed and filled. And so you just say, I'm just gonna lie down here a little while. Amen. I've actually been to a few services that I just didn't go. I just let them lock me in and said, well, you know, I'll go out the back door after a while. Amen. Because I just wanted to stay. I was enjoying it so much that I just wanted to stay there for a little while. So then it said, and he leadeth me, if I say he leadeth me, beside the still waters. I was traveling in the west, out in Wyoming, and they have open range out there, not a lot of fences. And I was driving along, and all of a sudden, man, I had to hit the brakes because they were a bunch of sheep were coming across the road. A flock of them and bunches of them. I don't know, there were probably 100 of them. There was a lot of sheep. And dogs were running around them, and those little sheep dogs, and they were herding the sheep. Amen. And they were trying to get them across, and it was confusion and chaos. Those sheep were just so confused and running back and forth and they'd cross the road and come back across the road. It took them forever to get those sheep across the road. Because you see, you don't drive sheep. You lead sheep. If they would have had a shepherd, it wouldn't have been that process, Brother Neil. The shepherd just would have walked across the road and the sheep just would have followed him across the road. But they had dogs driving them across the road. I drove just a few miles down the road and they were herding cows. Now, you can herd cows. Amen. Like the fellow said, you herd cows? He said, yeah. Of course I herd cows. I'm a cowboy. And so they were herding the cows across the road. And it didn't take 10 minutes to get them across the road. Because cows are used to being herded. That's their nature. But you lead sheep. And the Bible said that we are the sheep of His pasture. Most of us don't like to be driven either. Shake your head like this right here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You try to tell me and I'll just show you. Yep. But we don't mind being led. If somebody will show us the way, then we can follow the way. But don't just tell me and not show me. And so he leads us, he said, beside still waters. Still waters. You see, sheep, is from what I read, will not drink from running water. If it's running fast, they won't drink out of it. It frightens them. But if the waters are still and gently flowing, then they drink from that. They're refreshed from that. And we need, and still waters are deeper waters. They're not so shallow. Amen. And well, I'm not going to try to get into that, but still water. He said, I'm going to drink from the still waters. And that's the greatest provision. God, He knows what you need. And if you'll follow Him and you get into His presence and recognize where you are and what you have and who He is, then you'll just want to stay right there. Amen. Now, here's a neat thing about a shepherd. And I've been to Israel and I've seen, watched them do this. And the mountains there, literally, you can see it all over the mountains. There are tracks where for literally thousands of years, shepherds have taken sheep around those mountains. And you can literally see tracks. And I'm talking about paths that have been worn into the landscape of that mountain where for thousands of years and hundreds and millions of sheep have followed shepherds around there. And you can see it. They in the springtime they get and they lead them out into the pastures. And the thing about sheep is they'll keep grazing until it's all gone and then it's barren and it'll kill the grass. So you have to keep them moving. Have to keep moving. Amen. And it's important that we understand that. You know, sometimes we like to be sedentary. We like to say, man, I like this place. I want to stay right here. But we use this term sometimes. We talk about a move of God, don't we? Man, God was really moving tonight. God's always moving. He's not sedentary. You want to go with God, you're going to be moving too. We're going somewhere, folks. Amen. God is always moving. And we have to move with Him. He doesn't let you stay in one place. I've thought of life sometimes like a big house, and you get in a room and you get comfortable and you think, man, this is nice. I'm real comfortable here now. And about the time you get that way, He opens the door and He puts you in another room and you think, man, this is not comfortable. I don't like it in here. And you stay there for a little while, and you get comfortable, and you say, well, I this is nice. I didn't know how to appreciate this when I came, but you know, this is good. And about that time, He opens the door and He puts you in another place, and you never get comfortable. He doesn't want you to be comfortable. Amen. He's moving, and God's like that. He's always moving forward, and we've got to move with Him because He leads us. He leads us. And then the greatest prognosis, He said, He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Sometimes sheep can lay down and roll over. in the grass, and they'll get they lose their center of gravity, and they roll over. And sometimes their thick wool can get caught in thorns and stickers, and they can't get back on their feet. And they lay there, and they bleat, and they flail with their legs, but they can't get back up on their feet. And if they lay in that condition very long, they'll die like that. And so the shepherd, when he sees a founded sheep, a sheep that's laying on its back, he goes and he lifts him up, and he puts him back on his feet. And he restores him. And that's the picture that the psalmist has in his mind, the shepherd, that he sees a lamb that's plowing the air and he can't get back on his feet. You ever been knocked off your feet? Has life ever come and something happened in your life and it was as if it just bowled you over? And you felt like you were just flailing at the air and you couldn't get your center back and you couldn't get back on your feet and your world was upside down and everything was topsy-turvy and somehow the Lord reached down through all of that and he got a hold of you and he put you back on your feet. And suddenly you felt something solid once again and you felt like, okay, it's going to be all right. That's how God restores us tonight. He puts you back on your feet and he gives you something solid to stand on. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that God is still in the restoring business? Amen. You know, restoration's expensive. You see these old cars that have been restored? Aren't they neat? But you better believe it's expensive. For the most part, you don't do that for money. You do that for fun and for love. Amen. Because it's expensive to restore something. It costs more to maintain than it does to purchase. When you build a road, it costs a lot of money to build a road, but it costs more to maintain a road. It costs a lot of money to buy a vehicle, but it costs more to maintain a vehicle. Anybody bought gas lately? I saw a sign some time ago and prices were going up and it had a sign there and it said regular and then it said an arm and it said you know medium, it said a leg, and it had premium, an arm and a leg. So it feels that way sometimes. Amen. But God's in the restoring business. It cost him something too. I said it cost him something too to be able to restore us. So the greatest prognosis is he restores our soul. And he knows that if he does not, we will perish. And then the greatest pathway. He said he leadeth me. There it is again. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. What are the paths of righteousness? Well, it just means the right path. That's what it means. How many like to be right tonight? Anybody here like to be right? Thank you. There's three honest people here. Every last one of us, we like to be right. Have you ever had an argument? Now, don't raise your hand on that one. Have you ever had an argument? Why were you arguing? Because I'm right. Amen. We like to be right. And that's what righteousness is. It just simply means you're right. So when you walk in paths of righteousness, that means you're walking in the right path. And God leads me in the right path. If I follow the Lord, I'll always be in the right path. I'll be at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing. Because God will lead me in paths of righteousness. But sometimes we want to take a little detour. We want to do a little sightseeing. And we take a little side road. And that's not a path of righteousness. And we can get ourselves in trouble wandering off like that. Amen. But if you'll stay and follow the Lord, He will lead you. He leads again. He does not drive us. He does not force us. But He leads us in paths of righteousness. And that is by all means the greatest path. And I like this. It said, for His name's sake. Now here's the interesting thing. And this is amazing. But God claims me. Isn't that good? And God claims you. Amen. You've been baptized in His name, right? You got the Holy Ghost tonight. And God claims you. And He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. You see a kid cutting up, and you say, whose kid is that? And if it's your kid and they don't know it, you say, I don't know. No, you can't do that, right? You're a Christian. You have to tell the truth. Own up. Amen. But that's right, you know, because, you know, it's not the kid that there is. What parent is doing such a horrible job that their kid would act like that? You know, that's what's going through their head. Where is the one that's responsible for this? Amen. And the Bible said He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, so that we will bring glory to His name and not shame to His name. So He leads us in paths of righteousness. So that's how God leads us. Amen. The greatest pathway. And then He gives us the greatest protection. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, that's a really interesting phrase, isn't it? First of all, I want you to notice He said that we walk through it. Everybody say through. He doesn't leave you. And you know what a valley is? A valley is a grave with both ends knocked out. So you go into it and you go out of it. You don't stay in it. You go through it. He said He leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, anybody ever been killed by a shadow? You know, you can stand out if you're not, and this is not smart, so please don't do it. But if you get out by stand by the freeway and a big old 18-wheeler comes by and its shadow runs over you, you're all right. Shadows don't kill people. Now, if the 18-wheeler hits you, that's another story. But the shadow can do you no damage. It may scare the wits out of you. I remember as a kid, I was playing too close to a railroad track one time and a train came by, and it was scary. I mean, the ground's shaking, and it was not a real smart thing for me to do. And the shadow ran over me, but I'm still here. Now, if the train hit me, it would have been a different thing. But shadows do not destroy us. They just let us know that something is passing by. And so he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Here's why. Now, I want you to notice, there's a change here. He said, for thou. Notice this. He's been talking in the third person. He leads me. He feeds me. He causes me. He restores me. But now, he's talking directly to the Lord. He said, for thou art with me. And he said, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's two things here that are very, very interesting I want to talk about. I want to talk now about the greatest protection. God has two things that He uses to protect. A shepherd carries with him, he carries a rod. A rod is a long staff, and sometimes it's got a ball on the end of it, like a metal ball or some real hardened wood on the end of it. And it's a club. And so when a beast comes to the flock, he takes that rod and he beats the daylights out of it. It's for your protection. Now, you don't use a rod on the sheep. You use the rod on the enemy. Amen. So when the enemy comes, he's got that club, and if a wolf comes out, he can just knock him senseless with that thing. And that's for protection. But then he also has a staff. You've seen the staff. That's the long stick with a curve on the end of it. And that he uses that to restore the sheep. He uses that to lead them and guide them. They start kind of getting out of the way. He'll reach up there and he'll tap them with it. He'll say, okay, get back in line there, bossy. Yeah, man, you're kind of getting rowdy. Settle down. And it's like kids and parents, you know. And he has to tap them every now and then, smack them a little bit. Get them straightened up. Amen. And then if one of them gets going the wrong way, he can take that thing, flip it over, and he can get that hook, and he can just reach out there and grab him and yank him back. Amen. But that's for our protection too. So God has a way of keeping us in the way. And if we start wondering too much, he may reach out there and get a hold of us, and we may feel all of a sudden our feet leave the earth, and wham! We land down and we say, whoa, what's going on here? You're just getting out of line there, son. You need to straighten up. I read somewhere in the Bible that said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so in other words, if you get out of line, God will correct you. And I'm glad that happens to me. I don't want to do wrong and not know it. I don't want God to let me have my way when I'm wrong. Amen. I want him to teach me when I'm wrong so I can be right. I don't want to walk in the wrong way. I don't want to walk in darkness and think I'm in light. Amen. I want to know the truth tonight. And so he has a staff that he uses to guide me with. Amen. And that's the greatest protection. I'm protected today. I don't have to worry about anything. I really don't. Hallelujah. I love that story I heard years ago about the pastor preached on Sunday night about that we are underneath his wings, and he covers us with his wings. Amen. And this lady had heard that sermon and she was taking great comfort thinking about, I'm under the wings of the Lord and he's protecting me. And it was night and she was walking back to her car and she heard footsteps behind her. And she got a little concerned and so she started walking faster and the footsteps started walking faster. And she knew she was in trouble. And she was racking her brain for that verse about the wings and she couldn't remember it. And the footsteps came faster and faster and they were right behind her and she whirled around and she said, feathers, 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 feathers. And man, he took off. There's power in the word of the Lord even if you don't get it right. Say, we ain't all she can think was feathers. But that was good enough. Even the feathers on the wings have power. And God will protect you. God will take care of you. We can tell you over and over and over. We could stand here tonight and tell you literally hours of stories of God's provision. And you could tell me the same thing. How God has protected you and kept you time and time and time and time again. Amen. God protects us. And so we have the greatest protection tonight. Amen. And then God's presence. Amen. I love this. Notice again that he says, thou art with me. And then he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In verse 5, he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Amen. The greatest presence in the world is the presence of God. Man, it's the greatest thing in the world. Amen. Brother Neil, when you're in a hospital and you're fixing to get in one of those, what was that, a cat machine or some kind of machine? Yeah, and it's scary. And the presence of the Lord comes in. When you're getting ready to go in, they're going to open you up and take your heart out and do some plumbing on it. And it's scary. And the presence of the Lord comes in. He says, that's going to be all right. It'll be all right. The presence of the Lord makes all of the difference. When He's there, and you know He's there, you know He's there. You can do anything when you know the Lord's there. What I love about this verse, He said, "They'll prepare us a table before Me in the presence of Mine enemies." Don't you like that? Don't you get that picture? Amen. Here they are. They're out in the middle of a pasture. There's no walls. There's no walls. And the wolves are out there, and their eyes are glowing in the dark. And every now and then you can hear them howl. Amen. And the sheep, because the shepherd's there, they're just eating. And they're not worried about anything. Because the Lord, the shepherd's there. They're not worried. He's going to take care of me. You step up here, Mr. Wolf, and He's going to slap you with that rod and knock your brains out. Amen. So they're not worried because the shepherd's there. And the sheep, the wolves, they look on hungrily. And the lambs just go ahead and eat. Amen. Brother Neil, when we come to church, that's the way it ought to be. Amen. The devil may be trying to stir things up, but all he can do is just watch you eat. Amen. When you get your hands up and you start worshiping and you start singing and you start praising God, amen, and you're hearing the Word, you're responding to the Word, you're hiding the Word in your heart, He can be angry all He wants to. He can hate you. He can growl. He can snarl. But He can't do anything about it because there's a table. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. And there's not a thing He can do about it. You know why? Because the shepherd's there. And as long as the shepherd's there, He can't stick His nose in. Praise God. You know, the devil's on a leash, folks. We need to understand that. The Bible said He goeth about like, if I say like, a roaring lion. He's not a lion. He has a roar, but He's not a lion. He doesn't have the bite that a lion has. But he roars like one, and he scares people. Amen. But really, a roar can't do much to you. It can't hurt you. Amen. It's kind of like a shadow, you know. But he roars, and he makes noise, and he's scary, and he snarls. But as long as you're in the presence, he can't touch you. Now, you get off the path of righteousness, and you stray over in his territory, He'll eat your lunch. But as long as you'll stay on the path of righteousness and you stay in the presence, He can't do anything to you. But He'll threaten. He'll tempt. He'll put thoughts in your head. He'll try to discourage you. He'll do everything He can, but He cannot touch you as long as you're in the presence of the Lord and walking in the path of righteousness. Amen. You're okay as long as God's presence is there. Amen. He prepares a table before Me in the presence of my enemies. And He said that He anoints my head with oil. Amen. You know why shepherds do that? Have you ever seen a sheep's tail? Amen. They used to have an old saying that we used to say about, when you wanted to say something was fast, you'd say about 3 shakes of a lamb's tail. Because the lamb's got a little stub. That's all he's got. And he wiggles it real fast. But he don't have any protection, Brother Neil. Like a horse and a cow. You know, they got a big old long tail, and flies and gnats come up, and they just swat them with that tail, and they all scatter. You know, horse fly bites a horse. You know, it hurts. And he'll shake his skin, slap him with his tail. Sheep don't have that. They don't have anything to protect them. So gnats and flies can literally drive them insane. Have you ever had a gnat flying around your face, getting in your eyes, crawling in your nose? That's rather distracting. Thank God I got a hand. I can reach up there and swat that rascal. Amen. But sheep can't do that. They can't do that. They have no protection. against insects that get in their nostrils and in their eyes. All they have is a shepherd that puts oil on their head. And he'll put that ointment on there that keeps them away. I'm so glad I have a shepherd that cares about me. Do you ever come to church and you're frustrated and you're disturbed and you're upset and sometimes you're just downright angry? Just everything's going wrong. Why me? You know what I'm talking about. Well, some of you do. You know, frustrations in life. That's like gnats getting flies and flies crawling up your nose and you can't do anything and you're fed up with it. But you get in the presence of the Lord and the anointing flows and you get your mind on Jesus and all of a sudden that anointing comes and all those little frustrations and aggravations and discouragements, they just all go away. And peace comes into your mind and peace gets in your spirit and in your heart. And you leave and you're so refreshed. Amen. Isn't that great? That's because the shepherd takes that anointing oil and he wipes all that stuff away from you. Amen. And you're restored. That's the anointing of the Lord. That's what it does. It takes care of all of those distractions of life. There's another reason for anointing. They also say that the rams, you know, if you've ever seen rams, you know, they got the big horns and they butt heads. He said they put a lot of oil on them. And then when they butt heads, they just kind of glance off of one another. It doesn't do any damage. You know, every church got a few rams in it. You got to have a few rams, you know. Every now and then somebody's going to butt heads. But if the anointing's there, you're not going to hurt one another very bad. It just might knock some sense into you and kind of get you straightened up a little bit. But that anointing, you know, it protects us from hurting one another. And then he said, and I like this, the little boy was quoting Acts, I'll get this right here in a minute, Psalm 23, and he got to this part where it says, my cup runneth over, and he said, my cup got run over. That's superabundance. You leave here thinking, my, I can't contain this. Hallelujah. One guy was getting so blessed. And finally he just started saying, oh God, woo Lord. He said, oh, turn it off, Lord, turn it off. And the brother beside him said, no, Lord, don't turn it off. Increase our capacity. There's the answer right there. Don't turn nothing off. Amen. Just increase our capacity. Amen. And then the greatest prospect, he said, surely. If I say surely, isn't that a good word? Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. All you got to do is turn around. There they are. There's mercy. There's goodness. Amen. It's good to have mercy. They're always right with you. They're your companions all the time. Anytime I need mercy, it's right there. I need God's goodness, it's right there. Hey, that's a wonderful life, folks. I'm telling you, this is a wonderful life. I cannot imagine living life without mercy and without goodness. Brother Neil, God's good. Oh, he's so good to us. And that goodness is always there. That's what makes me want to be good. Because I see his goodness. And his mercy is always there. Oh, I need that mercy. And it follows me. It goes with me. Every day when I get up, mercy and grace, or mercy and goodness, they start following me. And they just stay right with me everywhere I go. Mercy is there. Goodness is there. Hallelujah. And they follow me every day of my life. And then he said, and you talk about a great prospect. He said, and... Now, here it is. See, let me give you the picture here. See, the shepherd has taken them out in the springtime. And they've gone from green pasture to green pasture. From still water to still water. they walked through valleys and the shadow of death, and the Lord has just led them. And through the summer heat, there was the waters to cool them, and then the fall's coming, and winter's coming on. And so now they're headed back to the house. They're headed back to the barn. They're going where there's protection. The season's over. And they're headed home. And that's what he says here. He says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. When? Forever. We've completed the season. We've walked through the seasons now. Winter's coming on. And I'm getting ready to go home. Here's the beauty of it, folks. As a Christian, you have the best life that's possible. You have the greatest person and the greatest promise and the greatest provision and the greatest prognosis and the greatest pathway and the greatest protection and the greatest presence and the greatest prospect. Amen. How can you lose? Why would anybody want to live any other way? Why would we want to live any other way? Why would I want to wake up with a hangover saying, I had such a good time, but I don't remember any of it. And it probably wasn't even a good time. Amen. And yet, people can't wait till the weekend to go do it again. Something wrong with that picture. Something's wrong with that picture. Amen. When you can have a life of peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, you can have joy and you know, isn't that a great life? I can't imagine. And there's mercy following me around, and here's goodness over here. And, what a life. Green pastures and still waters, and God's protection, God's provision. What a life. What a life. Folks, this is the greatest life a human being can live. The greatest life a human being can live is to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. Some years ago, I read the story of William Borden, I believe was his name. He was an heir to the great Borden fortune. He was a very, very wealthy young man. And God called him, he felt he was called to missions. And so he didn't want to, he wanted to trust God. He wanted to live by faith. And so so he signed away all of his inheritance. Gave it up. And then in the front of his Bible he wrote, no reserve. And then he went down to, and these were old days, and he bought a one-way ticket to the country of his calling, one way. Not a two-way, just a one-way trip. And then in the front of his Bible, he put no return. And before he ever got to the country of his calling, he fell very sick. And after some time of suffering, he did die. But before he died, in the front of his Bible, he wrote under that, he wrote, no regrets. Hallelujah. No reserve, no return, no regrets. Now that's a good life. When you can come, and even though you're disappointed that you didn't get to do what you thought you were supposed to do, and it's as if the Lord changes your direction, but you can say, well, I don't have any regrets. And in following God, I've never had any regrets. Yeah, I never have. I never regretted doing what the Lord told me to do. Now, I'm not going to say it's been easy. Sometimes it's hard. But I've never regretted it because the presence is there. And the power's there. And the protection and the provision. And why should I? That's the greatest thing there is. Living for God. This is the greatest life a human being. This is what you were designed to do. This is how you were created to live. following the Master. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. You were made to be what you are, a Christian. And by all means, if there were no heaven, and there is, and if there were no hell, but surely there is, the greatest life is living for God. Amen. Somebody made a statement, I believe it was Brother Ron Mulley, the men's conference. He said, there's nothing that you would have to give up to go to heaven that you won't have to give up to go to hell. You ever think about that? So I just can't give that up. Oh, you will. You will. If I got to give that up to go to heaven, well, you will give it up to go to hell. So why don't you just give it up to go to heaven? Don't that sound a whole lot better? Amen. People got it all wrong. Heaven's not going to be a party place. Hell's not going to be a party place. It's going to be a place of torment. Amen. Heaven's going to be a place of rejoicing, celebration. Amen. Triumph and victory. I want to go there. How about you? I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's something I'm interested in. To me, that sounds like a great prospect. I believe tonight that we have presented you with the greatest life. Anybody want this life? Anybody want to live this life? Anybody want to follow in this way? Praise God. I think it would be good to come respond to the word of the Lord and just come to the altar and just spend a few minutes lifting up your voice and your hands and your face to heaven and just tell the Lord that you appreciate this life. Jesus, I want you to know tonight, I appreciate living for you. I'm glad for this life. I love this life. I love living for you. I don't want to go back. I don't want to return. There's nothing there. It was torment before. It was horrible before. It was painful before. It was empty and vain before. It'll be the same now. I don't want to go back. I love the peace and the joy and the righteousness and the goodness and the mercy and the presence and the provisions and the protection. And most of all, I love the greatest person, the one that gave his life to redeem me, the one that paid the ultimate price, the one that shed his blood so that I could be cleansed, and gave me your spirit so that I could have life, and gave me your name so that I could have righteousness. I thank you tonight, Lord. I thank you. Thank you for taking this wayward child, this wayward orphan of the world, and making me a child of God. Thank you for coming down to my level so that you could lift me up to your level. And thank you for becoming like me so that you could make me to become like you. I thank you tonight, Jesus. I do. I want to be better. I'm going to be better. God, I'm going to strive every day to do better than the day before. I want to be more like you tomorrow than I was today. And the mistakes that I made today, I don't want to make tomorrow. And the wrong that I may have done today, I don't want to repeat. Teach me, Lord, and help me. Lead me in paths of righteousness. Amen. Show me, help me to have the courage and the faith to follow and to go in your way. Follow after you, Jesus. In your footsteps. In your footsteps.
for Christ.
Hallelujah.